Hare Krishna. Welcome you to New Dwarakadham for the Sunday Love Feast. Thank you all for coming. So many of you have kindly driven long distances and taken time to come here. We very much appreciate that. So this evening, I just wanted to discuss a few of my teeny realizations in terms of what's reality and what's illusion. Recently, is it Vaninath? Is the tape playing there in the back? So recently I was traveling with a couple of other friends in a van. And we were going different campuses in Northern California. We were actually living in the van for a whole month, and we were distributing this Krishna literatures to the students. And it was very eye-opening to see, that, you know, everybody thinks that they are very unique, very special, you know, this center of attraction. But everybody is pretty much doing the same thing again and again. Everybody is pretty much doing the same old thing. It's actually nothing special. At least, you know, in like previous times, like in the times of our parents and their parents, you know, people would actually have some kind of, you know, path that they would practice to understand what's reality. Either like our parents, grandparents, they were like Christians or Hindus or Muslims or Buddhist or Jewish or whatever they were. They took their time to actually find out what is the goal of life, what's so special about the human form of life, and if there is anything higher than what our senses meet. But nowadays, like this generation at least, we really like don't care anymore if the material life is true or not. Who cares, you know? It's like, we don't have time for that. You just go to school, somehow or other make money. When you make money, everybody respects you. No other questions asked. Whether you're like, you know, whatever you are, atheist, gay, homosexual, lesbian. We're not against it, but I'm just saying like. So people are just like living like a crude life. There's no more like anything, subtleties. There's no more culture left. And the reason I was actually in my travels, I was listening to many of the teachings, lectures from Srila Prabhupada, our founder of this Krishna movement. And he's so genius, he actually, in simple terms, he actually explains, like, what's going on. I was wondering, like, what's, like, people, when I asked them, are you happy? They're like, oh, I could use some happiness. They actually tell me that they're not happy. Even, interestingly enough, I was actually living in Sydney, Australia, and we actually lived in a red light district. We had an ashram there. We had nothing to do with the red light district, but somehow the devotees have bought this ashram many years ago, happened to be in that red light district. And one day actually I presented a book to this girl, and she said, oh, I'm Catholic. I said, it's okay. Catholics can read these books, you know, it'll just help you to become a better Catholic. And she said, no, I'm working. I said, I didn't get it, you know. I'm in a red light district and this girl says she's working. I'm like, what do you do for work? She looked at me like, are you like crazy? But anyway, she told me later, like, under seeing that, you know, that I'm not getting it, she said I'm a prostitute. So I managed to give her a book because from the friendly talks, and then I just asked her, like, you know, how's life, you know? How's it going? Are you happy? She said, nah, miserable. Just same thing every day again and again. So it just dawned on me, the whole world says, like, if you have sex, you're happy. But this person has taken that as a profession, and this person is miserable. So anyone you talk to, they actually tell you frankly that they're not happy, but somehow or other, they're not able to break through, you know, they're not able to transcend their position and do something different. So I was listening to the talks by Srila Prabhupada, and in his simple language, he actually made it very clear what's going on. He actually explained in this one lecture that if you hear something enough times, basically material propaganda means just that. You just hear something again and again and again, and then you're brainwashed and you're convinced that this must be true. Because it's everywhere and all the billboards and all my friends are doing it, therefore it must be true. And Prabhupada actually gave three examples I would like to share with you, with your permission. The first one, he said that there was a group of friends and all of them conspired against this one friend. And they met with each other when this guy was not around and they said, okay, we will do this. Each one of us, when we see him, we'll just tell him he's become a ghost. Let's see what happens. So this poor guy, he was walking by and this one friend was, oh, you become a ghost. And this person is like, what do you mean I've become a ghost? I'm just me, you know, I'm like, this is me. And then he thought like, this guy has become crazy. So he kept walking and then he came across another friend. And the other friend screamed, oh my God, you're a ghost. And then he's like, what is it? This is the second guy that's telling me. So he managed to ignore him and also keep walking. And third person also said, ghost, ghost. So this person freaked out and really believed that he's become a ghost. So this is the position. When you hear something, enough people say it enough times, it actually like hardwires into you that this must be fact. And that's what we are experiencing in this world now. And also, Prabhupada actually gives another example. How, when he was a young boy, he actually watched this English comedy show. And the name of the comedian was Max Linden. And in this show, that the comedian was actually going to a ballroom dance. He was actually dressed very nicely, you know, in a long coat, and he was dressed very finely, and he was on his way. And on the way, he sat down in a park bench. And when he sat down in the park bench, there were some naughty kids. They wanted to play with this guy, so they actually nailed his coat, his long coat, into the bench. So when he actually stood up, the coat just tore into pieces. And then he didn't realize like how, what extent it was like, you know, the damage was. So he showed up to the ballroom dance, and all these English men, you know, they were all dressed nicely, and they looked at him. They started laughing like, what is this guy, you know, coming into the ballroom dance with some torn coat? So he actually went to the bathroom to check, and he saw that he was like, you know, was completely exposed. He was embarrassed. But then being a smart guy, he actually came back into the dance and he was dancing so enthusiastically. He was dancing so happily with a big smile and enthusiastically, and everybody was asking him, you know, what's this? What's this? He said, this is the latest fashion. This is the latest fashion. And because he looked so happy and he was so enthusiastic, people were actually going into the bathrooms and tearing their coats and coming back. Prabhupada was telling this story. And how, you know, this is the nature of the, you know, human beings. We are easily like, how do you say? Yes, manipulated. We are usually like influenced. So, if we see something somebody is doing, we no longer question. If many people are doing it, we think it's true. And this is actually very dangerous because, you know, you no longer like, especially now, if you were to follow the masses, most people, what they're doing is very destructive for anybody who's like aspiring to go on a spiritual path. Prabhupada told another funny story. This is like really funny. There was this, to illustrate the same point, how just by hearing we are influenced, and very few people actually question, therefore it's like, you know, we are actually defeated in the purpose of the human form of life. So there was this merchant, there was this shopkeeper, he was selling some grocery, and to this grocery store one old man came with a shaved head, and he was wearing black clothes. So the merchant asked him, you know, what's going on? Like, I've never seen you with a shaved head and black clothes. What's going on? So this guy, this shaven-headed guy replied, oh, you don't know? Sargol Singh is dead. And the shopkeeper was like, didn't want it to be like ignorant. So he didn't ask, who is it? Who's dead? So he just said, oh really? I'm very sorry to hear that. So he sold him some grains or whatever, and then that guy left. So this grocery guy, he also shaved his head and put on black clothes. And then to his store, another military man came. And the military guy came in and he was like, what's the occasion? Like, what's going on? Like, why you shaved your head and you're wearing black clothes? I've never seen this before. And then the shopkeeper said, oh, you don't know? Sargol Singh is dead. And the military man didn't want to show that he's ignorant. You know, he's like, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. So he left and he shaved his head and put on black clothes, and he's spreading the word amongst his soldiers. So one morning, there's like 100 of them marching in the field, exercising, and they all shaved head and black clothes. So the commando in charge, he's asking, like, what's up, guys? What is this? You know, everybody shaved head and black clothes. What's happened? They all said in unison, like, you don't know? Sargol Singh is dead. And the commander didn't want it to sound ignorant. It's like hundreds of people are celebrating somebody's death. So he was like quiet, and he went and he shaved his head and put on black clothes. And he went to the prime minister. The prime minister is saying, what is this, new uniform or something? What's going on? I've never seen you shaved head completely. And I'm terribly sorry to inform you this, my master, that, you know, Sargol Singh is dead. And Prime Minister is like, my God, you know, this must be a serious thing. Everybody is doing it. So he shaved his head, put on clothes, and then he goes to the king. And the king asks, what are you doing? Why are you dressed like this? And he said, I'm very terribly sorry to inform you that, you know, the bad news, sad news, sorry to be the bearer of the sad news that Sargol Singh is dead. And the king was the first person to ask this brilliant question, the who is Sargol Singh? And the commando, I mean the prime minister, he said, I don't know. I guess I'll find out. So, you know, the parampara went back, like, you know, he went to the military people, and the military people, you know, went to the shopkeeper, and the shopkeeper didn't know either. So they all approached this one old frail man that started this thing. And then they asked him, like, what's going on? Like, why did you shave your head and put on black clothes? Who is this Sargol Singh? And this old man said, actually, I'm a washerman, and I had a pet donkey. His name was Sargol Singh, and he died recently. And he gave me so much service during his life. He was so loyal, so faithful. He was so dear to me that, you know, that's Sargol Singh. And everybody looked at each other and like, we can't believe this. We brought this all the way to the king without knowing, you know, that this is something not big deal. It's insignificant. So this is our position. We live in a society We do something because somebody else is doing. And everybody is doing, so it must be right. Then how people does it. It's like, you know, how many people are in this planet now? Does anybody know? How many billions? Huh? 6 billion. 7 billion. Almost. Huh? 7.3. That's amazing. So you think 7.3 billion people can be wrong. Like they're not chanting Hare Krishna, you know, they're not doing anything spiritual. So this way we don't even ask anymore this simple question, who am I? Like all the generations before us, they commonly did. Doesn't matter what their religion they're from or, you know, what is their social status. They all ask this simple question, who am I? Nowadays, we don't ask this question. People have no idea of this, like, simplest thing in life, that we are not this body. This is how Bhagavad Gita actually begins. Bhagavad Gita starts by saying, we are not this body. The body is just like a covering for the soul. And the soul is the real person. And nobody no longer asks this question. And people have no idea of reincarnation. Reincarnation is like a common understanding, at least in India. Everybody knows about it and is understood. But nowadays, these things are not asked or questioned at all. It's like I was giving a talk in a university, and then I was presenting how we are not this body. And then at the end of the talk, one student asked, if you are not this body, whose body are you? I'm like, my God, you know. This is like, let me just distribute some prasadam. This philosophy is no longer digestible. One of my friends, he was actually distributing books in Europe, and he came across these two drunk guys, and they were fighting with each other, and my friend gave them a book, and they said, if you answer a few questions, we'll buy the book. And my friend said, sure, what is it? They asked about hell and reincarnation and so on and so forth. My friend managed to answer, even though they were completely drunk. So one friend asked, can I reincarnate into this guy next life, pointing to his other friend. And the other friend said, if you reincarnate into me, I will kill you. So this is the kind of conversation they were having. My friend like patiently waited and took some donation and ran away from there. So people have no longer capacity to understand these basic points. Because of the media, because of our musicians, because of our politicians. You know, we are so influenced and we no longer question. Because all these new gadgets are introduced, and just to buy them and pay the 2-year contract, we are so busy working, there's nothing else we have time to think of. It's like when Prabhupada actually went to this Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, he asked this question. There's like hundreds of students, materially speaking, very, very brilliant. So he asked this simple question. So what's the difference between a dead body and a living body? And there was a pin drop silence. Nobody knew the answer. And Prabhupada said, where is the department? You have department to discuss so many things. But where is the department that discusses this most important thing, namely the spirit soul, which is us? It's not like, you know, we have a soul. We are the soul and we have a body. So Prabhupada was asking these questions and there was no answer. So Prabhupada said, this is not vidya. Vidya means education and avidya means ignorance. So Prabhupada said, this is not vidya, this is avidya. This is ignorance, this is maya. Maya means we perceive so many things, but ultimately whatever we are perceiving with our senses, it's not reality. It's illusion. So the whole thing is like a scam, you know. The whole material existence is like a scam. Set up by Maya, and we're being cheated, we're being ripped off. And everything is happening so smoothly that we don't even feel it. We don't even conceive it. How our life is passing by just in front of our eyes, and you know, we don't do anything about it. We're just ignorant and we're being cheated. It's like the story is told how there was a lawyer, you know, very successful lawyer, and the Lord of Death actually approached him. Namely, he was about to die. So he said to the Lord of Death that, you know, I'm a lawyer, even I send notices before we vacate somebody from the property, or before somebody, you know, is kicked out, or any reason, I'm sending notices. But you, Lord of Death, you never send me any warning. And Yamaraj, Lord of Death, he answered, that's not true. I sent you so many notices. I sent you so many warnings. But you managed to successfully ignore each one of them. Your hair was black like anything. Now, look at it. It's become white. So that's one of the warnings. Your teeth was perfectly healthy. Now they're all fake. And before you had a 20/20 vision. Now you need like reading glasses, you need long distance glasses, you need this glasses, that glasses. So every single part of your body is changed and it's failing. But how could you say that, you know, I didn't send you any notice? I did, but it's your fault that you didn't notice it, that I sent a notice, and you didn't do anything about it. So this is the position. The position is, if we follow the masses, we're just like everybody else, we're just going to grow old and die. Nothing special about that. And we've done that millions and millions and millions of times in the past. And we don't do something about it, we will do it again millions and millions and millions of births. There's no end to this. Because as soon as you desire materially, that fuels this wheel of samsara. So to fulfill your material desires, to facilitate, material nature gives you a body that's suitable. Again, you take a body, and if it's lower than human species, then we're in trouble. Because Prabhupada explained, you know, there are 8,400,000 species, and imagine your soul going through each species. And by the time it comes back to human form of life, it's very, 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 very long time. And even in the lower species, it's not like you become a dog and then you become a cow. Not like that. You have to become every breed of dog there is. Doberman, German Shepherd, Poodle, Labrador, you name it. You have to become every single one of them because you're allowed to go above, up. Very risky situation. So therefore, Prabhupada, or founder Acharya, he took so many risks to come to America and start this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, where people can come and learn about these things that we are discussing. And this is the actually perfection of human form of life. Because many times we go to the church or mosque or temple or synagogue out of some ego. Out of some ego, out of some material desires, we put few bucks in the, you know, hundi, in the donation box, and compliment each other about their sari or clothes, and, you know, pray to God to give them like a nice house near the beach and latest car and this and that, and go away. But that's not actually the purpose. Prabhupada said the temple means a facility where people can come and hear about the realities. Realities of material existence. And what is the solution to all these problems? The solution in this day and age is this chanting of the holy names of Krishna or God. And this is the easiest process of self-realization. The more we take to this chanting, individually and collectively, our lives will become sublime and successful. And the more we don't do that, we will just be like full of anxiety and just like same old thing every day. So the process recommended for this day and age is to read Bhagavad Gita, to chant the Hare Krishna mantra, to eat foodstuffs, very important. It's like any civilized person, any cultured person, any spiritual person do not want to eat a body of another living entity just for its taste. None of the animals like to die. So just because it tastes better, we are so cruel, we could cut the throat of another living being, which is like our brother or sister, and cook it and eat it. That's like, you can never become spiritual by that process. You can claim to be this religion or that religion, but you will not make any progress. Because you are accumulating so much bad karma from this activity. So eating sanctified foodstuffs, cruelty-free vegetables, fruits, milk products, and keeping company of people that like to think about life, satsanga in Sanskrit, keeping good company, very, very crucial. Whoever your friend is, that's how you're going to think, that's how you're going to speak, that's how you're going to act, that's how you're going to dress. Whatever your friends do, you will do. So the best thing is to keep friends that are spiritual minded, that are not egoistic and materialistic. And read, like the human form, the analogy is given, is like a train. And train usually runs on two tracks. So one track is the Hare Krishna mantra and the other is the Bhagavad Gita. And if the human form is like a train, if it's placed on these two tracks of Bhagavad Gita and Hare Krishna mantra, we can actually achieve the destination, a perfection. And it's very, very easy, very joyful, like those of you, I know some devotees, they've been coming here like 20 years, 30 years, 40 years every Sunday. Unless it's like so joyful and wonderful, why would they want to drive long distances coming here? And anything material you do, it becomes hackneyed, it becomes boring. Like those of you that like music, I'm sure you have at least like 100 CDs. You know, if it's not boring, why would you want to change the CDs all the time? But here, we have only one mantra, the Hare Krishna mantra. And we chant that day and night and it never gets boring. It just gets more and more interesting and joyful and tasty. So this is some things that I wanted to share with you all this evening, is to think and go deeper within ourselves and become a person of real substance, not just like a superficial person. What do they call them? Like a plastic? If you feel like so superficial, they call you a plastic person. Movie star. So that's our position. So we have to take our time and prioritize spirituality. Material life is important. We have to study. We have to go to school. We have to work. Whatever we're doing. But that's not the ultimate goal of life. That's important, but, you know, that's not like the most important. So therefore, we have to come and enthusiastically celebrate whenever we get chance. Come to the temple, hear about Krishna, tell others about Krishna. The whole world is in ignorance, you know, every one of us have to say something. Like many people go on this fast, not speaking, like Mauna Vrata. So Bhagavatam says, if you know something better, why you go on a fast of not talking? Why don't you speak loudly and enlighten the world? What's the use of you not talking? But of course, only if we know nonsense, then it's better to be quiet. Save energy and save other people's time. But if you know something better, then share with others. It's very, very important. And just by this simple process, we can completely become joyful and help others become joyful also. Why be selfish? And by this simple process, Krishna promises, Tyaktva deham punarjanmam naiti mam eti sarjuna. Anybody who takes to this simple path of bhakti yoga, chanting the holy names of Krishna, eating vegetarian foodstuffs offered to Krishna and keeping spiritual company, Krishna promises at the end of death, at the end of your life, you don't take birth again in a material form and go through all the sufferings that you went through in this lifetime. So it's a very beautiful process. Those of us who are following it, you can go deeper. Those of you that are new, you can start. So we can all do our bit. Did anybody have any questions? Yes, Josh. George is asking a nice question that I mentioned in my talk, that Prabhupada said whatever we perceive with our material senses is illusion. And he's asking, how do we know what we're perceiving in the temple is not illusion? That's a very good question. When we are so confident about ourselves, we are so confident in ourselves and in our senses, then there are chances that we can be cheated. We can make mistakes. Like the human beings, we have four defects. We have tendency to cheat. We have imperfect senses. We are an illusion and we commit mistakes. So with these defects, if you're so into ourselves, definitely there are chances that you can go wrong. And most of the time we do make mistakes and go wrong. But if we take guidance, spiritual guidance coming from a bona fide source, coming through disciplic succession of authorities, and if we apply that, then even though our senses are imperfect, we are becoming perfect. It's just like if you drive your car and if you want to go all the way from here to San Francisco and you could just try to figure it out yourself, which may take you like 2 years or more and you may even never make it there, or you just follow the GPS and just tells you turn here, turn there, make right, make left. Of course, this is just a crude example. GPS also makes mistakes. But in spirituality, when you're following an authorized disciplic succession, and we are not taking chances, then we're relying on Krishna, who is the source of everything and is perfect. So in that sense, we are in the right direction. Otherwise, it's, yes.
It might be a coincidence, but today I got a book and I was reading it in the bus, and the title is Illusionaries. And it's about spirituality. The other subtitle might be The Adventures of Our Reluctant Messiah.
Yes, yes. There are many books. Our friend, what's your name?
Xavier
is showing his book that he's reading at the moment. It's called The Illusions. So there are many books and there are many people, they say very similar things to what we say in the Hare Krishna teachings. The world religions are like a piece of puzzle. They're like just a piece, many pieces of puzzle. But when you come and read the Vedas, the original yoga texts of India, it's like all the pieces put together, you can see the whole picture. And the beauty is, here we're not only saying what's illusion and leaving it at that. It's easy to say, oh, this is illusion, that's illusion, I won't eat this, I won't eat that. And then what? The main point is surrender to Krishna. That you will not find in any book. Everybody will talk about what's illusion, but what's the solution? That they will say, oh, there's no right or wrong, there's no one path, do whatever you like. That'll be the conclusion. But when you come to the Hare Krishna temple and read these ancient yoga texts, they explain to you what's illusion, and they also explain to you what's the solution. What's the positive alternative, who's the supreme, and what's the process of linking with the supreme, what's the easiest process. And you will see so many followers that are so dedicated, which is like very rare to find somewhere else. Because people don't have a process, don't have a regulated process and a lifestyle out there. Like on our travels, I was at a university and I just asked one student, hey, you know, it's raining like anything and we're staying in our van, it's so difficult. Do you know anyone who could let us stay in his dorm or something? And he said, you know what? I'm actually a follower of such and such yogi. And I have an ashram, and the ashram, everybody is like spiritual person. So we have 6 bedrooms and we can offer you guys 1 bedroom. Why don't you come over? Can you believe how amazing Krishna is? So we went and he gave us wireless network and kitchen and bedroom and everything. And this person, when I first met him, he wouldn't let me talk. He's showing how spiritual he is. And within one day, he ran out of things to say, you know. I just heard him out, like I had to be polite. One day I was up till midnight, so he gave us a room, you know. You cannot be just go to sleep. So I heard him out and it's like, it's amazing, you know. You say you have a guru, but you're so much an illusion. And he came to me the next day and said, can you give me an honest opinion? I'm about to try this drug. I forgot the name. I'm sure most of you will know. Apparently this drug is released at the time of birth and death and all these things. It's like a painkiller. Very high dose. So he's like, I'm about to try this drug. What do you think? I said, I thought you were spiritual. And he's like, yeah, I'm spiritual, but what's wrong with trying a drug? I said, you know, this is illusion. You're already in illusion. Why do you need a strong drug to put you in illusion? And you have a bad trip and you come back and back to square one. What is this? And he was amazed to find out that, you know, we don't do any intoxication. And he said, we're all like vegetarians, but they eat fish, they eat eggs. And, you know, they all have a boyfriend, girlfriend. And, you know, it's like, just call yourself this or that, but there's no real substance. You have no values in life that you live for. He doesn't know who is God. He doesn't know what's the name of the Supreme. There is no process of how to meditate. So 99% out there, this is the kind of spiritual path that's available. The guru doesn't know who he is. The disciple doesn't know who he is. And there's no right, wrong. You eat any garbage. You know, you take any drugs. You know, you have like 5, 6 partners. And, you know, it's just like, you're just basically a materialist, but you call yourself this or that. In Krishna consciousness, it's not like that. You have to be genuine to be able to follow this process day after day after day. But it's very easy. By chanting Hare Krishna mantra, the process becomes actually very easy and joyful. Is there anything else anybody want to add or discuss? Oh, very good. You should be giving the class. You're good. Very nice. No, he's giving example of what's illusion and what's not. If you see something in relation to Krishna, that's not illusion. If you see something, energy of Krishna, separated from Krishna, then it's illusion. Did you have something to say, Eric? Okay. Yes, quick one. Who to trust? We have to do some homework and find out, just like if you were to buy a computer or camera or car, we put so much into it and we read the reviews and we talk to people and like that. So spirituality also, if you want the bona fide thing, we have to invest and research and find out who has the most knowledge and who follows what they're promoting. So these are two good symptoms of a nice spiritual path. Thank you for your kind attention. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. We have nice dinner served in the Prasadam hall. Those of you that don't know, those of you new, please get some dinner. Hare Krishna.